Incoming transmission.
We are back in the Captain's Quadrant. We are excited because there's so much going on in the two-episode drop of Discovery this week. The show returns for its fourth and final season. We got so much hype. The fifth, thank you, thank you. Counting is terrible with me. So we are so excited to get down into dirty business with the crew of Discovery one last time. It's going to be so much fun. Stick around. There's going to be some exciting things that are going to be popping off this week. How are you guys? I want to start off with some friendly hellos because it's been a minute. Hello. It's been a week. We've spoken. How's it going?
Good. Good.
Yes, it is good. Yes, it is awesome. Anytime that there is new Trek content out there, I am a happy daddy.
Nice, nice. It is also First Contact Day.
Yes.
Happy First Contact.
Happy First Contact Day. First Contact.
Yes, 39 more years to go.
Yeah, so that means World War III is going to come pretty soon, and then the Eugenics War, and then First Contact.
Yes. So I look forward to the downfall of civilization, and I will be watching it at home in an air-conditioned house with a glass of lemonade going, good for them.
Jolan Taru.
If I'd known we were going to celebrate First Contact Day, I would have eaten at least a lot of baked beans in that, because that's how we celebrate First
That's
Contact
right.
Day,
that's right. Absolutely, and that video is available now for you to watch. It's a nice little jest into our show. And then, of course, My Figure Universe says, Jolan True, happy First Contact Day. Good to see you, our friend.
Happy journey to you, too. Yeah. I also speak Romulan, yes.
Nice, nice. All right, well, let's hop into it. We got a double header, so we'll do both the synopsises, and these are not GPTs, so they're going to be quite good vernacular. Jason Roy Gaston, if you please.
Captain Burnham and the USS Discovery are sent to retrieve a mysterious artifact hidden inside a 800-year-old Romulan vessel, bad grammar, but find that they're not the only ones on the hunt.
All right, and our second episode.
On Saru's last mission as Captain Burnham's number one, the team ventures to a seemingly abandoned planet to hunt for what might be the greatest treasure in the galaxy.
Yes. Do we think that it is the greatest treasure in the galaxy, Sean Connery?
Sean Connery. I have no idea what this bloody show is about.
Butt bugs. All right, let's hop into what we just talked about, First Contact.
Thanks.
Yes.
Before I die, I want to make that canon somehow. That you greeted me.
There is no reason to believe that a Vulcan would not logically let one go as to mark their territory and make it silent but deadly.
Also, because honestly.
Honestly, what would Zefram have done? What would he have done? It's like, hey, do these guys always smell like this? Oh, hello, you are breathing particles that originated from my colon. I share the breath of my colon with you in the name of peace and prosperity. He gets back to his ship. Yeah, I totally told him. I told him that breathing air from my colon was peace and prosperity. Vulcan lulls. That is most amusing.
Vulcan lulls.
Vulcan lulls. That's amazing.
Lol.
All right, Jason, VHS Jace, we know that you're coming with this from a different perspective.
I did my research prior to season 5 again to make sure that the issues I had weren't being influenced by something else.
Okay.
They were not.
Okay. All right. So what is how do you feel about
First Contact? We've got to split in two, don't we?
Yes.
So what do I think of the first episode?
Correct. He's got a soundboard.
The second episode, it was a lot better. The first episode is a generic action adventure plot, and that's probably what got me bored straight away. You could have implanted this plot onto a Western cop show from the 80s. It was ridiculous. I hated the opening. So we started off with her riding a starship in warp with a suit. And then it's just quips straight away. We're going to get into the quips, these cool lines that she's going to say, which were awful, by the way. Mm. It keeps going on. I don't like the way Tilly is back. She's back like Worf is back on every movie. Just slot her back in for no apparent reason. I hate the idea, this grandiose idea again. They can't just be after, at least it's not another anomaly, but we're going over after the Holy Grail, what starts life itself. And in the end, what do? They connect it to previous Star Trek by showing images from a better episode of television. Mm. If you remember this, remember me? I was on the show that it was actually good. That really bothered me too, because it's a pretty real much an insert. But there is some great saving graces in this. I don't want to be totally negative. It was great to have Rayna introduced. He's a great character, far as I'm concerned, to come in. And, you know, it's not often in Star Trek we get inserted with, you know, an older, more cynical Starfleet captain. She's had issues before. Oh, no, that's Captain Shaw.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't mean to cut you off. I do like Rayna, though.
I don't mean to cut you off, but can you just increase your volume?
Oh, my volume down. My volume down.
Either that or just turn it all the way down.
No,
is that better? Is that better?
Yeah. My figure universe. Is that better? Is that better?
I don't know.
You can't hear him.
Sounds really loud to me.
Well, it sounds fine on our side.
Yeah,
I think it does sound fine. Okay.
Yeah, well, what I'm ranting about, no one wants to hear it anyway.
Overall, it's
the same issues I've had with season four previously continue to happen for me. And then this is Star Trek fast food for me. It's not a succulent meal. It's more McDonald's and Hungry Jack's, or Burger King, as you call it, or maybe Taco Bell.
Ooh,
maybe it's not Taco Bell. But either way, this fast food version of Star Trek, and it bothers me. And I think that's more on me than it is maybe the show. I think maybe it's grown into a direction that I can't gel with. And I'll get into more as we go along. So it was a half-half split for me. Overall, if I had to rate the two shows together, it was about a 4 out of 10.
Wow. All right, Jason Roy Gaston, let's hear it.
So I guess I just had a completely different experience. I enjoyed the first episode. I would not call it a 4 out of 10. I'd say it's more like a 6 out of 10. It was more exposition and getting us ready to go on the adventure. I will admit I did cringe at the very beginning, and all I could think of was that Rick and Morty episode where that guy sets Morty down and starts reading a script to him, and it says, you know, oh, cut to 4 hours earlier before they got into this mess. And I'm just like, this is what Rick and Morty was making fun of. I'm not a big fan of that plot device either. And yes, the action Burnham lines are seriously cringy. But there is some good to this show. Number one, this show looks outstanding.
The show really looks
amazing. This show has expanded the Star Trek universe so much, not only taking us out of the 23rd century, but bringing us to this new century and just making this new federation, this new galaxy of the future, just so expansive and massive. It is part AR wall. It is part... you know, just all of this history that we're learning. I enjoy the interpersonal relationships between these characters. I think that this crew is just good together. You'll have to forgive me. I may be melding these episodes together in my head, so I may be talking about things from episode two, but I think that's the biggest one. And I also think that the avalanche sequence was pretty awesome. Just to see, spoiler alert, the Antares and the Discovery basically go nose first down into the sand and then use their shields to protect the village. I'm sorry, that's cool as hell. That was cool as hell. You can't do that on a Western. You're not going to get a horse to put its head down into the sand and protect an entire city, Jace.
You get some cards. Look, it's just dumb. Come on, it's a dumb idea. It was goofy. It was goofy at best.
Okay, wait a second. This is the franchise that that skitters around the universe thanks to magic dilithium crystals, but that's dumb?
This is shoving him into the ground.
This
dumb.
Is the franchise Sorry. That like literally takes people apart atom by atom and puts them back together down on a planet. But that's dumb? That's where you draw the line?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Where I draw the line.
Yeah,
that's exactly
the line. Yeah, that's right. They can use that shield to stop a thermonuclear warhead and a photon torpedo, but sand and dust and rocks is too much.
Okay, if they when they had to pull them out, if I'd heard the deed, 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 and they were backing the ships out, I might have bought into it. But to me, it was just like, oof. And again, I think it's more on me because I'm going, if I want to watch bad Star Wars, I'll go and watch the Disney Plus channel. That's how I kind of feel. Like, it's just too much action for me. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is too much action.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I miss the simplistic days. We have to go to
Granddad a blanket so he can go to bed.
Yeah, I'm yelling at the clouds. I wish I had that image available.
I wish you had that
image. I'm yelling at the clouds like an old man. But that's how I feel. I miss the days of Star Trek was we've got to go down to Alera 6 or something, and then we just cut to them on the planet. We don't have to have this giant 10 minutes overstuffed action sequence to get from point A to point B.
Well, my first contact, in case you're wondering, and just for the record, I'm the one that doesn't like Innerlight. That's me. A little bit sunshine. I'm the one that doesn't like Innerlight. I think it's a little boring. I like the action sequences of this. I'm of that generation where I know I spend a lot of time on social medias where everything is boom, 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 boom. So I think that this is what it's geared towards, a generation of folks that need instant gratis and things moving quickly. So I think
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's part of the allure of Discovery, and my ADD brain is like, yes, feed me stimuli. So I'm all for that.
Did you know you misspelled Captain's Quadrant in your name?
Yes, I did. You could have told me that in a DM.
We clearly have the Mirror Universe Joe tonight with the goatee, spelling the name wrong.
Yeah.
Give us back the proper
Squadron.
Timeline,
John. Hello, and welcome to the Caspitian Squadron.
This could be one of your bits on now.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling it is going to be, right?
It's going to be, yes. You can't stop it. It's out of the genie is out of the bottle.
The genie is out of the bottle. You are screwed. I will be infamous in my terrible spelling, but I'm already am, so... Yes, so my ADD brain was absorbing all of this with glee because there was so much going on. And I want to just say that we had a quick discussion two places. We did the Strange New Pod festival and we did our own little thing. And in both places, Cosmic Mom's here. At last, I got internet connection. Cosmic Mom is here.
There we go.
Did she lose it in the Great New York earthquake?
Yes, we had... Oh no, there's an earthquake.
Oh, but if we were in Discovery, fire would be shooting out behind
you. Oh yeah, it'd be rocks.
Day Chance would be sitting there with flamethrowers throwing rocks at people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the whole mythos that this is based off is something that you and I had discussed. And I had made the mistake, which seems to be my modus operandi, in saying, oh, yeah, you had said that this was the, what species was it?
I thought it was going to be the Iconians. Yeah.
Right. And then I mistakenly thought the Iconians were this episode where they go and find Salmon Jens as the species that everybody came together. And you corrected me. And it's like, no, that's this episode. And sure enough, that's what this is. I thought that was kind of ironic.
He gets this right, but I can't have the butt bugs.
I was right, mistakenly, but I'll take it. And so I enjoyed it. I agree with Jace. The second episode was stronger. I like the treasure hunt. I like the connections with books. I like a lot of things that are going on, but we're not here to discuss all of that at once. That is for a pros and cons. You guys are ready to be.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
Yes. Yes. I think this was a maybe good, but I'm very excited to hear what you guys have to say. So kick it away, Jason Roy Gaston and then VHS. Yeah,
so this is okay. So we're just discussing both episodes, or are we just...
Yes.
Yeah,
all right. All right. So here we go. Second episode was better than the first episode. I enjoyed the second episode quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mostly because I see the theme that they're working on here. It is the whole thing with Saru helping to rehabilitate Michael into becoming the best person she could be. And now Saru is going to go off and do his thing. And now it's Michael's turn to rehabilitate Rainer into the best person that he can be. So I really like the full circle thing. Okay, I'm just going to say it. They did my man Fred dirty.
Fred.
Fred's dead, baby. They did him dirty. Number one, you can't just have a guy look like Data and then just kill him. Do that.
Was Brent Spiner not available?
Now, they didn't need Brent. He was just a synth, but he was based on Data. He was from Coppelius. It was fine.
He was a different one. Yeah. He's the Teemu version.
Yeah, he's the Data you get from Wish. I don't understand why they couldn't just take his head off like they did Data. Why couldn't they do that? You know, he's so old. Yes, he's old, but you know, you can still take the hard drive out of a computer. I just don't get that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that the synths are still around in the 32nd century. I want to see more 23rd and 24th century aliens in the 32nd century. I want to see the Klingons. I want to see Breen. I want to see more weirdness. I just want to see it. Let me think. What else is there? The interplay between Saru and Michael was great. I really liked the whole quasi homage to The Last Outpost with the drones coming after them. That was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed the problem solving on Discovery. I enjoy seeing them find a problem and work their way through it. And Rainer popping up saying, yeah, I was watching the whole thing. Here you go. That's just great. Dadmiral Vance is a great character. It's Odette Fier. It's so great to see him back. But yeah, I have way more pros for the first episode for the second episode. The first episode, my cons are that it was just a big exposition dump. And I don't think it was done well. And I think it was done in kind of cringy ways, but you know, it was, I still liked it.
Massive dumps. All right, VHS Jace.
Yeah, look. Let's
Speaking
start
of massive
book.
Dumps.
Yeah, massive dumps. Let's talk a book. Don't turn him into a little bitch. They've turned him into Beta Boy Book.
And Beta Boy Book.
That bothers me. You know what else bothers me? It bothers me that the last time those two were together, in season four, Michael's going, I love you, and they have to come to this thing. They're going to have a long-term relationship. The next time these two together, after an overblown action scene, is like, it feels weird now. I think we'll just be friends. Okay, whatever. Like, you know, let's just dismiss books. So I think he's dead. I think he's going to die in this season, and I think that first episode proved that to me. I think Michael Burnham, I think I'm struggling with her in this episode to find out who she really is as a character, because I can never get a read on her in regards to, is she serious in the moment? Is she quippy in the moment? Is she happy? Is she sad? She's kind of a bit of all over the place as far as I'm concerned. What else did I – actually, I'll go into something I loved, Saru, the relationship with Saru. I really dig on that. With a Mama Milf, the Vulcan.
Great.
Excellent. Yeah. Go get some. Yeah. And there's a real love there between them. And there's a little interaction, I think, in episode where he's deciding whether he's going to make the decision or not. And the previous scene was like, well, it's not up to you. I shouldn't factor in your decision. But how he articulates afterwards was really sweet. And yes, the stuff with Michael and Saru was wonderful, even in the action scenes, which I thought that little drone action scene was a bit much. There was still enough in there that I really understood their connection. So I thought that was great. Even though I was joking that basically we have Captain Shaw 2.0 in Rainer, I think it's a really good addition and a great choice for First Officer. And it might create some really good character conflict in episodes moving forward. But however, I'm just not enjoying the direction it is going. I don't like this plot idea. So are we kind of finding God again? Like, is this the quest of... Are we doing really, in a way, a very veneer kind of...
No.
Like, we're going to find the source of life itself? What is going on here?
Do you guys remember the name of that episode by any chance?
Yeah, it was The Chase.
The Chase.
And I watched it straight after the first episode.
No kidding.
As soon as they mentioned it, I finished the episode, and boom, I watched it. It's a great episode.
It's a really good episode.
Yeah. It was Star Trek's version of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. That's all it was.
Everybody had to get to that point at once. But I enjoyed like that. And I know this is the element. In the first episode, hated the bounty hunters. Something changed for me. Because by the end of the second episode, I was kind of liking those guys.
Yeah, me too.
We get to meet
Tufus in person.
Yeah.
In May and June. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll get into that later. But we got a lot of... Are you finished? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just wanting a couple more things. I'm sorry. You're annoying at this point, love. I was with you in season one, season two, as you were trying to grow as a person. But you're just not growing, far as I'm concerned. And I couldn't think of any more cringy when she was trying to play drunk. Did not enjoy that as well. There's a million other things, but get into some comments, Joe.
We've got a lot of things popping off in the comment book. And speaking of books, we talked about her internet connection. Yes. We got our buddy Damon. Hello, my friend. It is probably all leading to a Starfleet Academy series. Indeed.
Yes.
Our good friend, we appreciate all your comments and your valued inspiration. And you literally agree with our producer, VHS Jace. He totally agrees. Literally.
Pretty well on point. I mean, I'm not a genius for figuring this out. I mean, it's very obvious, right?
Yeah. You know, I got that too. I mean, even the look at him was like, oh, that's the... Even though he's a Cylon, I think he's going to betray everybody at the end. But My Figure Universe says, I'd like to believe that they laid the groundwork for us for more Freds in the future.
Ooh, that was a missed opportunity.
That is a huge missed opportunity.
The wig was too much.
Right.
Because you didn't need the wig to go, hey, remember Synth? Remember your friend Data?
Yeah.
You know, but he's the teamy version, though.
He is definitely.
Crooked teeth and stuff.
Mr. Gain says, too much action. No way, more pew-pew.
I like pew-pew Trek.
Pew-pew Trek.
I love pew-pew in general, just not with... I think you could have cut 40% out of the action and still had a really great episode.
Mm.
Just saying. No.
I think he holds a kid. Like Dr. Evil, new. New.
Thank you, value for nothing.
Value for nothing. No. Fred is coming back. The show is just badly written.
I like this guy. I like him.
He's like one of our big supporters. We really appreciate you. Yes, but with that garbage for a whole two seasons, he's talking about the love story.
And we welcome all opinions, even the wrong ones.
No, I do. You know the for me, can I say about love stories? The biggest missed love story is the true love story.
Yes.
I could have seen a couple more seasons of that, to be honest with you. And the reason is because they went into really fresh, interesting areas, and they just didn't play it out enough.
Yeah, that's what they needed.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're not going to bring Gray back. Well, they're going to Trill in the next episode, so maybe we'll see Gray again.
I must admit, when they said that, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe this is a chance for them to reconnect.
But
Adira says earlier in the episode, I've never been away from Gray. It's just me, and I kind of like it. And I'm like, oh, that relationship is doomed.
She's been hanging out with Michael Burnham.
Uh-oh.
we loved yesterday.
Love the story, but the love story is sweet between them. And, of course, Damon says, I wonder if they'll bring back Crewman Daniels from Enterprise in season 5.
I think if Crewman Daniels showed up in the 32nd century, Vance would come out with a water bottle going, no, go away.
And then... What does God need with a discovery?
To get to the other side.
My signature universe. Yes. Pros and cons for me. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Biggest pro is the new villain. Do you guys know what the name of his species is? I missed it.
They said he was an unknown.
Oh.
She's human. He's unknown.
Okay.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah. Okay. I
like it. Let's have some more unknown species.
Yeah. It's fun.
I think they know everything. that species.
I love the archival type of tomb that Romulan ship had in the first episode, and their getaway from the Discovery and the other crew. What's the name of the other ship?
The other ship.
Yeah, from the other ship. I absolutely loved that whole sequence with the ship spinning and then shooting different.
Very cool.
Very cool. I thought that was
idea to be able to lose.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's hunting it down. Very cool.
I did want somebody to say, my God, they could have gone in any one of 20 directions. I just wanted Detmer to go, we literally saw them go that way. Go that way.
That was so true.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, happened. Burnham and Saru are sitting there going, Michael, did you hear something? No, I didn't hear a thing. It's just us alone here on the bridge, Saru. No one else is here.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool. It was a very different way to get away. And it seems like those guys seem to be a step above everybody else when it comes to getting away. They're like really good at it. So team getaway.
I like those bounty hunters, man.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Some of the pros, again, in the first episode, I thought the return to Tatooine was really neat. I thought that, you know, it's been a while since we've seen it. And, I wanted to see how all the people were living out there in the desert. And it was nice. The weird thing about that one, the little con that I had, was if they're going to blow up that one hole for their getaway, there's no other way to get away. There was the only way entrance in. That was like, this is probably a massive cave system underneath there. There should be other ways.
Joe, that's where that was screaming each other with overused, interaction before they got there. It was Exhibition Central. Should have been.
Yeah.
Though, however, it does pay off later, doesn't it?
It does pay
with Rayna.
Yeah.
It's basically the trigger for the Rayna kind of accusations. Exactly. The canceling of Rayna.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I do like our new Shaw, Rayner, as you mentioned about him.
Does anyone else get fixated on his ears? Because there's some cool ass ears.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I was trying to see. I'm looking at the picture that you have. I was going to put it up again. Is that cool if I do that again?
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Landed anyway.
Yep. Yeah, so.
Kick ass.
Yeah, his ears are wild. And
very elfish.
Yeah, for sure. And Jason Roy Gaston had mentioned during our conversations previously on this, that he is a species that we'd only seen once in Deep Space Nine.
Yes, oh, really? In the episode Armageddon Game.
Yes.
He is a member of the Kelleran species.
Kelleran. So I like the deep cuts that they're giving us. They're doing some style nods, though not as funny. They even mention something that happened that we had no idea about. And I hope they dive into this section of the universe, and that's the Breen Empire.
The Breen Imperium. They're
having civil Breen. War.
Yeah. Basically. So I hope that we get into that, because I find the Breen to be a fascinating species. Their ships are so cool looking. I really want them to kind of get into that universe. There's so much to explore in Discovery, because we've had 900 years in between everything that's going on. Which,
hey, by the way, that Romulan did decay that badly for 800 years.
Yeah, he did pretty good for
900. He did pretty good for 800 years.
It's an anaerobic environment. There are no scavengers to disturb the body, and I'm pretty sure life support went down, and you got a freeze-dried body. You see it up in the mountains all the time. They'll just be like a climber or somebody who lived 2,000 years ago just sitting there clinging to the side of the mountain like this.
Oh, God. I think I froze. I'm cold.
I'm not doubting that absolutely would have happened like that. I just love thinking that they got to use probably an original uniform. They got to go down to makeup with the special effects guys building this mummy, stuck it on there, because it looked great.
I love the fact that the dude who played the Romulan in the hologram played a Romulan in the chase in the background.
Yes.
I love that.
I will give him that. That was a good choice, because you would have obviously normally gone for the guy at the front, the main Romulan, but they don't. They go for the guy who was sitting at the back, probably just observing the whole thing and thinking about what he was going to have for lunch.
And of course, that cool Romulan scout ship back, which was really neat. I really like that ship.
Which is why, you know, one of the things that both you guys had mentioned was the Klingons. I think we're going to see some of the other species again. I think we're going to see some new Cardassia folks And I think we're going to go see some Klingons because if you remember, oh, well, you just watched The Chase. So you remember that like all the different species were involved in the alien universe. Man world. So I think that we're going to have an opportunity to see these worlds live again, and we'll see characters from there, and we'll see how they are in this timeline. So we're probably going to get another version of the Klingons that we haven't seen in like Strange New Worlds or from 900 years prior and Discovery Klingons and TNG Klingons. So we got a lot of fun things going on.
The Klingons are going to have like fingers coming out of their foreheads and keep going like this.
I understand why you want that. But doesn't that then work against the idea of expanding this universe, really? Because to me, I know you've talked about how big it feels very small to me. Very small at the moment. I mean, half it's got to do with Star Trek being a third-rate kind of entity now, not really the biggest thing around. But, yeah, it feels small. I want to see new aliens. If you're going to spend time in the 32nd, I like the idea of evolving evolutionary kind of certain species, but let's find some more out there. Let's get some fresh meat.
Yeah. I think we can hang out with our butterfly friends. I think that would be really cool to see those blue butterfly folk flying around and on one of the starships. It would be dope, and I hope that that's what we're leaning towards.
Would you really want a butterfly person flying a starship, though? Because the first time they see a shiny star, they're going to fly right into it.
No. I don't think they have that issue. They figured that part out. They've evolved.
They keep walking into those certain doorways that are going to shoot on them.
Yeah, anytime they come across a force field, they'll just keep... I'll get around it somehow.
He lost his headphones for that bit.
I'm very committed.
I also think that one of the big pros that I had for the second episode was that planet. Like, there was all those flies flying around, and it made it feel a little bit more realistic. It's like, how come every time they go in a jungle, there's no bugs around? Like, they managed to find the only jungle in the world with no bugs. And this time they're like, nope, there's bugs everywhere. And
they have imaginary bugs. If you remember, every time that they were on a planet on TNG, you just see Riker go, oh, bugs. And there was no bug. There was no bug. They were lying. They were lying.
Yeah.
But it's now we're not lying to. It's Riker. Whatever he says is true.
Yeah.
Can't question Riker.
Do not question.
You've seen how he sits down on chairs. He's a man who cannot be questioned.
Yeah.
You don't contradict a man who straddles a seat like that.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my point.
Exactly. The thing that bothered me about the second episode, it's going to be like a really dumb nitpick, is they left all of Saru's plants behind, and why is Saru leaving? I was like, why don't you just wait till the end of the series to have him go and get his promotion? Why do it now? Like, we love...
If they don't show a scene of that room with all those plants dead in a few weeks, I'll be annoyed.
Tilly! You were told to water this! I'm so sorry! That one bit me. I didn't want to come back in here.
And I really love the connection that books, Stamets, and the Doctor have. I think that is a really neat connection. You get a lot of storytelling from books about the characters that we are learning about in these
Made a boy book
in this new series. So those are the things I really appreciate. I believe that we are now entering Fire at Will, right? Or is that right?
Fire at Will.
Fire at Will.
Fire at Will.
Poor Will.
Poor Will. He just had to deal with that bug.
He blowed up.
He blowed it up. All right, let's go back to the comment section. Damon says, shame we didn't get to see a hologram of Sela pop up.
That would have been cool. I'd like to know what that crazy Romulan wench is up to nowadays.
Yeah, that would be... Imagine she's still alive and that's like the big... the end. My Favorite Universe says, the last time the Breen were mentioned in DS9, they were a consortium, so they officially advanced beyond that. Oh, yeah, good point.
Nice.
Do you think Breen traveled together like in groups of 1,000? Oh, that's Brian. Sorry. My bad.
My Figures Universe says, I don't know how many people caught this, but when they made their escape on the ship, and they launched false signals. I think that was a homage to Firefly.
Oh, maybe. It'd be cool if it was.
Yeah. There you go. Dame, that's a really good catch. Yeah. Damon says, I would like to see the remains of what happened to them.
The Reemans.
The remains of the Reemans.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, unfortunately, it was a different actor that played the role in the episode.
Oh,
well, at least they mentioned that it was supposed to be the same character. But yeah, hey, yeah. You know what? It was good casting. I thought it was him.
Yeah, me too.
That is really good. Yeah, Michael Copeman played the Romulan scientist in the Discovery. His IMDb page does not show him in TNG.
He's still with the glasses.
Oh, you saw that? Oh,
I saw that. That's awesome. Have you been doing it the whole time?
What's that? Yes, I've been doing this.
Oh my gosh, that's hold on. I gotta
just putting it over.
Yeah, this is what you look like.
Oh, wow. I've never seen me just Jason. I thought it was me. Slick. Thanks a lot.
I'll bring him in a little bit more, see if we can magnify your eyes, guys. That's it.
The character
that's gonna be my prescription in a couple of years, I reckon, my glasses.
Man, I was like,
God.
I was like, I finally
got cheap gags we do. The back.
Yeah. The character was played by Gary Hunter in TNG.
Keep it there because I'm making that your new thumbnail icon.
Perfect. Captain Burnham. Yeah. Burnham. Sorry, I'm doing my best. I told you to fire across their nose, not up it. I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on in Discovery, and there's a lot going on in the world of Star Trek, including bits and pieces of Section 31 that are getting dropped left and right, including so you seem to be exasperated there. So I've got to ask you, what, you're not a fan of Section 31?
I'm being a dick. Look, honestly, I haven't seen enough on it to know whether it's going to be any good or not. Am I a little bit worried about it? Yeah, I am. But you know, until I see some of it, who knows? I mean, I love Georgiou's character, so
yeah.
You know what I mean? To see her rocking and rolling and getting up to mischief. It's just whether they handle it right.
Right.
I'm hoping for a giant space and time travel adventure.
I think it is because they're talking about that. They're talking about Rachel Garrett, captain of the Enterprise C.
Young version.
Hmm. Young version. So, you know, maybe we'll get a young
Star Trek babies.
Yes.
We did math and we reckon based
on. I didn't. Don't worry, Chase.
Based on Garrett's age. That Section 31, if she is a new graduate from the academy or out of there for 5 or 6 years, that this would have to take place in the early 23, or this would have to take place around the early 2300s, so like 2315 or something like that. So it's in the Lost Era. Ooh. I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
Unless they completely screw continuity.
No, I don't think they will. So we'll have the Enterprise B running around.
Yeah. But it makes you sad a little bit because if it is, that's the case, that's what the movie is maybe they're dealing with stuff in the Lost Era. What a shame it's just a movie.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get more if it's successful.
True.
Yeah. Hey, it could be really them kind of hiding the fact that this is a pilot.
Yeah.
Could be. Just saying, because if people don't like it, they don't have to do nothing. But if people love it, they've already got it kind of ready to.
Yeah, to jump off from there.
Plus, we also missing the fact we have an Academy Award winning actress in it now.
Yeah, I think people are going
to. That could change things. Yeah.
I don't think Michelle Yeoh wants to commit to a TV show right now because she is like the latest hot property. Yeah. She deserves to be. She's getting recognition she should have had years ago.
Good question. This is a great question. Damon says, how does it feel renewing brand new episodes again? It's been a while since Hegemony.
It feels
the
good.
Last one we did.
Yeah. Feels so good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For sure.
Trek better than no Trek, even with my issues.
I'm going to ask a question.
I think I know what he's talking about.
Spoil anything. Don't answer. But how closely did you watch the trailer for this season on Discovery?
I did not, but Judge did.
Very closely. I did too. And I noticed something that has piqued my interest.
Indeed.
Quite a lot, and I don't want to spoil it in case you didn't see the trailer. But there was a like a half second shot in that trailer where I was just like, yeah, this looks good. This looks good. What?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I,
oh, I know that you kind of,
yeah, you dropped it in our chat.
Yes, I do remember that. Cause
if you see it again, every thumbnail on the internet, the massive spoiler for the season. Do you think it's a massive spoiler for the season?
Well, it was.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find out that Rachel Garrett was actually in Section 31.
Maybe she's still alive.
What happened to Section 31 when it was one person and no one knew about it? Now Section 31 seems to be, oh, yeah, you can find them down the road on the left.
That's that giant
building that says Science Section 31.
Just look for the D-bags with the black badges. That's them.
their idea of being the secretive organization, they kind of blew it.
Yeah. So look, here's a question for you guys. Since the second season, the Sawtooth Sorrow two-parter, was Section 31 pretty much obliterated and that was the end of them, or did they continue on?
Here's my theory. I think that Section 31 goes through ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. I think at the time of Enterprise, it was a secretive organization that only a few people knew about. By the time of Discovery, they had basically come out of the shadows and they were an intelligence gathering place, like the CIA or FBI or something like that. Then Sawtooth Sorrow happens and they're obliterated. Starfleet says, oh, well, screw that. We don't want them around anymore. They go back into the shadows, and that's whenever we go to the 24th century. That's what I think. That's what
I think see. That's if that's not the theory. I think if that's not the theory, then it doesn't work because that's the only way it really works, if they're going in and out of the shadows.
Section 31 has a kiosk at the mall where the kids can tell where they want for Klingon Christmas.
Oh, I could just see that. They sat on Michelle Yeoh's lap, and it's like, I want it. We already know what you want. We already know what you want.
Yeah.
That's not your real father.
Who plays the elves? Which species are the elves, though? That's what I want.
They're Ferengi.
Ferengi would be good, yeah.
They're over there in the corner going, ha ha, profit.
Give me your three latinum. Get in line.
Give me your profit. They're doing it as a favor for Mariner.
So are there anything that we want to bring up?
Yeah, I do. I've obviously I'm cynical on a little bit of Discovery, and I thought for a bit of fun this year, I might play a game which I'm going to be calling Discovery Bingo. All right. So what it is, I've written out 9 scenarios, and over the next 8 episodes, because I won't start it from now, would be cheating otherwise, we'll see if I can get Discovery Bingo. So let's go over them. What do you reckon? All right, let's start from the top.
You're going to read them, right? Because it's very small.
Yeah, I'll read them all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Burnham will cry intentionally just before or directly after an action scene. So she will bawl her eyes out. Tilly will feel insecure about something, but will overcome to save everyone, and her team will all applaud her, even though she's just doing her job. All right. The other one is the crew will complete a mission or a task with less than 3 seconds to spare before someone on the crew dies. Probably Michael Burnham.
Oh, you think he's going to go? Wow.
Well, every action scene, come on. It's a ticking clock, and they always just get through. Okay, the bridge will in any moment of collision or attack on the ship shoot fire out of one of multiple console panels.
Well, that already happened.
That'll happen again.
I love this show, but when Burnham stubs her toe on the bridge, fire shoots out of the ceiling.
All right, Burnham will defy orders from her superiors on moral grounds and then proven to be right because she is Space Jesus.
Wow.
She's always right, dude.
Yeah.
A younger crew member will use modern sayings words to describe something because Star Trek is hip and totally gets the youth of today.
Oh.
A call or something. Someone will sacrifice themselves just before they do. They say, it's okay. Then Michael Burnham will cry. And then second to last, we've got a leader in Starfleet or the Federation who's currently trusted will betray them.
Oh.
And then finally, Saru will walk down a hallway with the back to the screen doing wavy fishy hands.
Okay, we call that sexy Saru walk, okay? We will not make fun of sexy Saru walk.
What about action Saru? We got action.
So we'll see it. And hopefully at the end of it, guys, it'll be...
Ooh. That's a bingo.
But hopefully that's what happens.
Yeah. Well,
we'll have a look each week.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to keep notes of that. We'll get to
look, some of them are very generic, you know, and some of them are like unfairly cruel, but you know, is what it is.
It is what it is.
She cries a lot. Come on, Michael Burnham does cry a lot.
She's
what I mean.
Dealing with a lot too.
I mean, like, other galaxies on her shoulders have to be anally taken over by the Borg before you're going to cry. You know, yeah,
that's true.
Or you're going to lose your wife, or
hey,
what else? Did Janeway ever cry? Do we ever see Janeway cry?
Yeah, she broke a couple of times because I remember back whenever Voyager was first on the air, people were saying, "Oh yeah, she just cries all the time."
Really? I can't remember her ever crying. Yeah, I'm picking on Michael because she has got faculties of her emotions, and I'm still hiding mine.
I think, because when Seven, I think it was when Seven dies, she was crying. I had to Google it. Eagle, when she flies. Mm. Yeah, so but people love Kate Mulgrew because of her humanity.
Well, either way, I'm not doing Voyager Bingo, am I? So, so we're all good.
Yeah.
No, look, it's just at the end of the day, it's the little things like, you know, the bridge of Discovery. I kind of wish that there was more interaction between the bridge crew.
Yeah,
like,
instead of, hey, do this.
You know
what I
mean? Like, previously in other shows, what I'm used to, and maybe this is, again, my failings as a viewer, I really enjoy when the bridge, everybody's having input quite a lot. And I feel there's, especially in Discovery, there's characters on console panels that we see every week really don't do anything. And I think, I kind of wish that would happen. Also wish the Doctor would die. How awful.
Why? He died already.
Because that relationship is, well, it's pretty mediocre and boring, just like a real relationship is. However, I think that Anthony Rapp, I've forgotten the character's name, I would love something Amos. To... He needs to be ripped to the core, I reckon. Kill off the Doctor. That actor wasn't even there for most of season five, was he?
What's that?
He didn't even complete
Wilson
all of
Cruz
season
was,
five.
Yeah, he Wilson? Was. Yeah, Wilson Cruz has been in that show like... Yeah.
No, he was. No,
there was an article out saying that he really regrets not being able to finish the show with the rest of the team, and doing the press tour was cathartic for him.
I have to rewatch season four, I guess.
Yeah, he survives then.
No, he died in one of the early seasons. No, that's true. He died in season, I think end of season one and beginning of season two. He got killed. I think
No, okay. We don't
want to kill that. Everyone. That's
we've had enough of the kill your gaze trope. Let's not do that anymore, please.
Oh, really? I mean, it's not that. I know you're coming from that perspective, but for me, it was just like, you're a boring relationship. It's just a boring relationship with your male, female, just boring. Like, I think, well, I'm still dirty on the trans relationship kind of being tossed to the side because that's the most interesting relationship that they didn't explore.
Any uses?
Booker, do you like Booker and Burnham's relationship? Do you really?
I did before, but the way
did you?
Yeah, before the DMA, I did because they were fun together.
Yeah,
and then the DMA came and they were like, let's take all the fun out of Book and let's just like stomp it onto the ground.
They always felt like partners more than they felt like lovers.
But then, like, they're actually isn't that what being a lover is? Is being a partner?
Well, no, okay, more of a partner in their job than an emotional partner. How's that?
Yeah.
More like cop buddies, you know? They go in their squad car and they go off on another adventure.
Any usage of Christopher Waltz, love it.
Yes.
That's a bingo. How do you use that line? How else? What's a better way of saying bingo than Christoph Waltz, Aldo Rain?
Exactly. Does it count as Janeway is crying if we refer to the Millennium Clock episode?
No. But Janeway did cry in the episode Muse when she thought that Harry and B'Elanna were dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chakotay talks to her, and then whenever he leaves, you kind of see her, you know, kind of cry like that, either because they were dead or she had to do a scene with Robert Belcher, and one of those just
one of those edge. Painful.
Yeah, let's not forget how much she cried when she actually got to see the screening of Tuvix as well.
Sure, she bawled her eyes out. Oh, jeez. I did enjoy the fact that they were able to have an adult conversation with each other, kind of put a bookend on the relationship.
A bookend on it.
Yeah, this guy. I'm not sure. But you are a winner. You have to reach out to me and give me your address. I have to mail you a winner.
It's just so flat that they've ended their relationship like that. And if they get back together, it still doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a good question then, because do you know if Salika? Is it Salika?
Saniqua.
Salika. Like a Toyota Salika. No. Salika. Is she contracted any further for any other Star Trek content? Do we know of?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I should have put on the bingo, she sacrifices herself at the end.
I think you did.
I said someone will attempt to sacrifice themselves and then go to the other person they're with. It's okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's her. That's her line.
Maybe. Maybe it is on the bingo card.
Yeah.
I say no. And I say that because they did not know they weren't getting another season.
Okay.
And so I think everybody's going to make it out okay. I think if any of them are going to bite the big one, it's going to be Book.
You know what? In saying that too, like you mentioned with the other relationship, let's not do that. Let's not kill off another black lead character.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And now think of it. Don't do that. Send her back.
Imagine
they send her back to her original timeline and they put her in a mental home because they just think she's insane. And that's how they end the series. She's in a straight jacket.
That would be terrible, man.
That would be
almost as bad as computer end program.
You know what? As long as Grudge is okay at the end, I'm happy.
The queen.
I just want the show to end with her sitting in the captain's seat.
Finally.
These pesky humans are gone. Now, Grudge is a Maine Coon, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cute cat.
She's a queen.
Oh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Just got here, like, the first two episodes, even posted a review. Awesome.
Well, it's probably good you just got here then, if you really like the episode.
This is a little from my perspective. Make sure you go back and rewatch it, because this
guy. Yeah, those two guys loved it.
Yeah.
I'm the one yelling at the clouds. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
This is everything I wanted for the Captain Squad. This is great.
Not all bad though. They have got some good nuggets of stuff in there.
Yeah.
I think some of those writers did maybe go back and watch an old Star Trek episode occasionally then.
Yeah, for sure. And this is Darren Aronofsky that directed, so I think that helped a lot too. The second
who?
Darren Aronofsky.
It was direct. Oh yeah. Yeah, I thought you said Aronofsky. I'm like, what? No. Darren Aronofsky, like the famous film director who filmed
Douglas.
You know? Douglas.
Yeah, Aronofsky. Doug. Yeah. Old Dougie. So now that Saru is no longer this is the thing that bugged me since it's Fire at Will. This is my bugbear for this episode. The captain of the other ship takes a demotion to be the first officer of the Discovery.
Didn't have a choice. I could actually stand by that decision. He was gone. Really?
Yeah, it was either that or gone. Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. And I tell you what, I like the fact that they haven't changed him yet. And I hope that he doesn't really change of his opinions and his belief system, because I think that's what would make it interesting. I think it'd be really disappointing if they started to soften him. So I hope that,
Yeah.
He's just that thorn in her side, but for very good reasons.
Yeah. I think that he is for
great
sure.
Actor, by the way. I can't remember who that actor is, but he's great.
He's from Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. Yeah, I might not remember that.
Yeah. He's been in other stuff too. I think he was in Lost too. I'm not sure.
He's a good actor.
He's a great actor. I'm glad. I was super cool to see him. And when they did the promotional imagery, I was like, oh, that's the guy from Battlestar. And I was super happy.
No one's disappointed that somebody else wasn't made first officer?
Callum Keith Rennie.
Yeah, he's very good. Who would you have put as first officer?
That's the question I was asking. Anyone? Because I wasn't.
Crunch. No, it just was weird to me. It was just one of those things.
Because she made a point of saying, well, Tilly's going back to Starfleet Academy.
Right.
Yeah. So that was her going to be her first choice was Tilly.
Yeah, which I
don't know, man. I wouldn't send her to battle with that amount of perm. Keep your perm under control, Tilly.
She does it. Her hair is just magnificently perm. It is magnificent.
Yeah, it's really nice.
She's the kind of person who can turn to, like, if there's a scary noise, she turns and her hair continues to turn for like 5 minutes. I just love that.
Their presence. Yes. For the happening of Spock was a captain served as the first officer with Captain Kirk on the Enterprise as well. Saru was captain serving as first officer alongside Michael. Oh, okay. So
yeah, remember that back and forth.
Yeah, get over my bugbears. Okay, thank you.
You know what it bothers me now is because you got two options with Saru. We either are going to see bugger all of him, which is going to annoy the hell out of me, or we're going to have come up with convoluted reasons why he's on the ship again.
No, I don't think we're going to have him on the ship. I think we're going to see his perspective. He's going
to
tie in.
Oh, right. So we're going to now cut away to politics. They're trying to do an Andor now.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing the.
Yeah. They're going to be politicking.
If they do pew pew, I'm not happy. If they do politics,
That's where they need to do pew pew. That's what I'm thinking. He's in the.
They need to do pew pew in the politics.
Phew, he shoots out his little like neck daggers, kills them all.
Oh,
it's him to grow new ones. Is that like
I did think that
kind of thing?
Were they instant? Do they hurt when they grow back?
I don't know. Are they like a pimple? Like every now and again, one of them pops and like breaks a window or something.
Yeah.
Out of the
air. If it gets overly stimulated. Ooh, watch out. Mama. Was she Navarian?
Serena. I don't know.
Is she Navarian now or Vulcan now?
Either or.
They're both the same.
I really enjoy how they are. They're not overdoing it, but they are bringing emotions to the Vulcans. They are making them more rounded because I love that whole thing. Are you going to tell me or do I need to mind meld with you?
Yeah.
That is just, I like that. I like that the Vulcans are becoming better. I don't know.
I think it's very close to what Leonard Nimoy did because Leonard Nimoy didn't have to do a lot physically. It was all here. It was all in the eyes.
Yeah.
And this actress is doing the same thing. It's subtle thing saying, but it's all being played here, and it's awesome.
She is fantastic.
The girl that played Devine, who we interviewed, lovely Stephanie, she had the same thing.
Shabosky,
here. Yeah.
Yeah. She's very good. Great Klingon. Vulcan. We are going to be together in 1 month's time. The three of us in person.
We'll wait and see what custom says.
We're going to be at Trek Long Island 2.
Woo!
This is going to be so much fun. Actually, from Discovery, Tara is going to be there. She is a wonderful person. Make sure you buy your photo ops now. What's so funny, Jace?
I'm just noticing you guys replaced my picture with me and Damona.
Yeah, it was great. I love it.
We have to tell them the story of that picture, though.
Oh, yes. Okay, so make sure you join Trek Long Island. Buy your tickets now. Get your photo off.
It's going to be amazing. The
lines get long, and it's going to be so much fun, and we're going to be doing a live.
Put it this way. Come to the show because things might get a little bit buggy.
Yes, they might get buggy. there's a story about this picture. Now, initially, you're going to notice that the podcast picture changed, too, because we had a little throw to one of our favorite shows, Lower Decks. We had a little moopsie on Jason Roy Gadsden's shoulder, and we had an opportunity.
Turns out moopsie's quite litigious.
Yeah, and it turns out moopsie is now getting plush toys, and they're actually leaning on moopsie. So we had an opportunity to have a billboard in the jersey that's going to have the captain's quadrant. So when you drive on Route 46, you're going to see these three handsome gents bing.
Guaranteed to cause a bingo.
Yeah.
Guaranteed to cause a bingo.
And then our good buddy VHS Jace is like, hold on a minute. That's not our intellectual property. We got to get rid of oopsies. So let us get a brand new image. And now we have Jace loving
it. We have a real life moopsie in Damona.
Yeah. We have our own moopsie. So that is going to be so much fun. We're going to have a lot of fun in Trek Long Island.
We have to tell the story behind the picture.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
Oh, yeah. Yes. There's a reason I love that picture more than anything.
So I was told just
that's right.
Pose. So I was doing all these little jokey poses like, and then Damona walks underneath my legs and I'm like, oh, it's my baby. This isn't Damona. This is Murder Bean. But oh, I okay. pick her up and I'm just like, and I just take a picture like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. Oh, she farted. She farted when I picked her up. And I was like, oh no, she didn't fart. She pooped all over me whenever I picked her up. I literally scared the crap out of her.
Yeah. So now if you see that picture, can you put that picture back up, Joe? Every time Absolutely. You see that image of Jason, know that Damona is in mid shit.
my leg is my leg is painted at that moment and I don't know it. Yeah. You can even see the look on her face. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm a cat. I'm not sorry.
You oh, yeah. That yes. good. Yeah, so good. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, hope you guys have a great night. Great time there. Hey, if you're in the East Coast, it's not too far from New York City. So it's going to be a blast. It's only in Strong Island. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, how do I order one of those? How do you order one of what's? The plush. Yeah, it's on the Star Trek website. Yeah, the Moopsie website.
Yes,
I got a secret Moopsie that I got from. Oh,
a secret Moopsie, which equals to non-copyrighted
Moopsie. Yes, I got a non-copyrighted Moopsie from a fellow podcaster. And it moopsies.
And it moopsies.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
I want one.
Well, you get to cuddle it when you come.
I tell you what, here's a prediction. And I think the only show that could pull it off in live action would be Strange New Worlds. But if we got a live action moopsie.
Oh my
God. That's the show to do it, right?
That'll be the last episode. Moopsie shows up and everyone dies.
Yeah. Everybody except the original TOS crew.
Do you think if we cut out the Queen Borg from Picard season 2 and digitally inserted Moopsie as that character, that season would be good? Because I think it might help.
And I think the season was already good, but I don't think that they would have survived.
Season two. Three is amazing. Three is the best series of modern Trek.
What's wrong with you? Yes. If we would have... No offense to Annie Wershing, because I thought she did a great job as the Borg Queen, but I think changing anything about that season probably would have been better.
That was funny. It's funny you mentioned that because apparently the studios got very heavily involved and like mucked about with it. So.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. I can
see the interference.
I think they started off with something really good. The first episode was amazing. And then when they went to the past, it just was like, which is, you know, they tried to do
this is why how this is also another reason why Terry Metalis should be running things. He had to come off the back of that.
Yeah.
And then made what he made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, for sure.
Justice for Terry.
Hashtag Terry.
That's gonna be my yeah, you know what? I think it's gonna be now. I'm gonna go justice for Terry Metalis.
Yeah, you should do that on TikTok. You got a huge platform. Might as well. You know?
The poop queen.
Uh-oh. Did he leave you a treat?
No. I'm just checking out. You're good. Daddy still loves his baby.
He is queen. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Captain's Quadrant. There was a lot of fun to be had with all of you two gentlemen. I am so grateful to hang out with you guys every week to talk about Discovery. I don't really have too many of these posts to talk about other shows, but if you guys wouldn't mind talking about yourselves.
They just said you can find me on TikTok at VHS Josh. Come and check me out there. Check me out here. Check me with that madman right next to me as we go on his channel and do all sorts of silly stuff.
And apparently I'm popping up in there to talk some silly stuff.
You are. I haven't decided on the film yet. I might actually I might get you to pick the film out. How's that sound?
If it's up to me, it's Running Man for sure. Or did you guys do Runaway?
We have not done Runaway, no.
Runaway or Running Man? There's things that I don't do.
Very different films, but both.
Yeah, I love both of them, but those would be cool.
Except for the running. Yeah, they're very different.
Very different. All right.
Anybody running Runaway?
Somebody yeah, had Gene to run Simmons and run away. And Tom Otherwise,
Selleck with that bad robots, those evil little robots.
I love those evil little robots.
Somebody had to run and run away. Otherwise, they just call it walk away.
Walk about.
I know what it didn't run away with, and that's a profit.
It's a shame because I really like that movie.
Rainer gave me Lorca vibes if Lorca was a good dude. Rainer definitely gives
His sure. vibe. For sure. It's sure. That's a great picture of him, too.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? I'm actually going to print that out and put it on my ceiling.
There you go. You can just look up.
Wake up and look at that.
The missus will be like, why is he there?
Oh, man. She's been with me 30 years. She's seen way weirder stuff.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. and then they can find all that fun stuff on the Jason Roy Gaston channel, which is Jason Roy Gaston. Which are you at 20,000 subscribers now? Or
Not quite. We are about to break 16,000, though, which
is incredible.
Nice. I'm very grateful to everybody who follows me there. And the only thing I have to say is why.
All right.
Well, I'm excited because today we hit 1,500 subscribers on the Captain Squadron. So 1,500 of you that popped in, said hello, come back. Like, we love hearing from My Figure Universe. That's Philip Bryan, Damon, Sir Gaines, and The Value of Nothing, and of course Cosmic Mom.
We love all you guys.
All of you guys
watching along. We we might not be the most smartest Star Trek show, but hell, we're semi interesting.
I think we're more than semi. I think we're fun as hell. I don't
know. Hey, we don't oversell ourselves, mate. We don't. We have a thing called the tall poppy syndrome here. Mm. If you get a bit of an ego, it's called the tall poppy syndrome. You think you're and what do we do with tall poppies?
Oh.
Your country is really messed up.
Yeah, seriously. Jesus. Well,
yep. Stay away, please.
We will see everyone next week for the next episode.
Woo! Which is called Janal.
Yes, Janal. Whatever that means. Maybe it's like Tanangra.
Isn't that what they used on Deep Space Nine when Dax like relived all of her past lives?
My Figure Universe. Holy thank crap. You. If I didn't find you fascinating, wouldn't be coming back. Y'all are entertaining. Aww. Thank you so much.
Hey man, your Instagram, by the way, is really dope.
Like, oh yeah. I've been
following his Instagram. It's great pieces he's always put on there.
Yeah.
Go check him out.
I love his or her Instagram. I don't know.
Their Instagram
is amazing. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace and long life. He appreciates a compliment.